Dear Heavenly Father, please bless these readings. The reading this morning is from Isaiah 56, verses 1 through 7. This is what the Lord says: maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps her hand from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, the Lord will surely exclude me from his people, and let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says: to the eunuch who keeps my Sabbaths, who chooses what pleases me and holds fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever. And foreigners who buy themselves to the Lord, to ministers to them, to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, all who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifice will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Buenos dias. I would like to thank North Hills Community Baptist Church for allowing me to share this reflection, and may it be a time of edification and great blessing for everybody. Normally, when we have church service, Pastor Tim Spring always cites the word of the psalmist David in chapter 19, verse 14, which speak about, may our words of our reflection be acceptable in the eyes of God. This case, I always like to do something a little bit different. I do not want to start with the words of the psalmist, but I actually want to start with the lyrics of a song that was written actually by a brother who is actually an American Baptist pastor. He's actually from Mexico, Joel Sierra, and he actually wrote a song called The Song of the Leaders. And one of the songs, or at least the stanza of it, I think it reflects of how we as people of God should be always in our daily lives, not just when we step into the pulpit, but we also in the way we need to act in our daily lives. And the chorus says, may your voice be heard instead of mine. May the brethren adore you alone. May I diminish and you grow in me every day. May they kneel down to your feet and not to me. First of all, I just wanted to start and say that whenever people ask me about my family, especially my mom and dad, I always tell them that I actually look more like my father. We actually share the same taste in not so much music, but in movies. We love slapstick comedies. And my dad loves to laugh. I love to laugh. I always like to consider him the most positive person in the world. He's been one of my greatest influences in my life. But not only is my father a person that has a sense of humor, but whenever he is in a much more reflective mood, he always has counseled me, especially in my walk in my spiritual life. And he has always told me this, especially when I was growing to be a teenager and an adolescent and actually growing more in my church. He used to tell me, that's great, honey, that you want to go to your youth meetings, you want to go out and do an evangelistic outreach campaigns and all that. It's all good. But you got to realize that your Christian walk is not just on what you do on Sunday. It's what you do from Monday to Friday. These types of, counsel, you know, when you're young, you don't really understand, but then as you get older, you kind of you know, start reflecting on it. And these are the things that my father has always taught me, especially, you know, as I was growing spiritually. He says, besides obviously just going to church, how are you, how do you behave at work? Are you a person that's honest? Are you a person that treats its coworkers well? Do you practice justice with your significant others or to other people that are considered outcasts in your society? When you grow in your faith, you realize how much we need to put in practice these words, especially as how we are right now in our world. And the passage we just read right now in Isaiah verses 1 through 7 is a very complex passage. But from the research and from meditating and reflecting, it shows me that God always challenges us to go beyond our religious practices. Not because they are in itself bad, there's nothing wrong with it, but because the Word of God becomes much more alive when we act on our faith. One does not change its surroundings or their environment or where they live just standing here inside a church or just praying or doing other things. We find that same concept in the first three verses of the passages, which are directly directed at the people of Israel. The Lord challenges them to go beyond the rituals of purification and sanctity. The Lord requires that his people not only praise him with his lips, but with the heart and with deeds. As verses 1 to 2, we read it says, maintain justice and do what is right. These are verbs of action. As verse 2 says, blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it and keeps their hands from doing any evil. We find these same types of words and amonestations not only in this passage in Isaiah, but also in Micah, which is actually one of my favorite Old Testament passages. Specifically, when we read Micah 6, if you want to look it up in your Bibles, it's fine. Verses 6 through 8, where it says, the prophet asked the Lord, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come down before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? But then we hear there's a switch. There's another person talking, and I believe that it's God, and it says, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and enough mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Brothers and sisters, this morning, I just want to say, what good is it in my life if I come here to church, I give my offering, but I do not give my helping hand to somebody else's in need? What's it worth to me to come to church and to sing praises? It's like my father always said, oh, it's so fun, you know, when you lift up your hands and you close your eyes, but deep in your heart, you do not like the person that's right next to you or the person that's outside of these walls. The Lord challenges to rethink not only the way we live our faith in our life, but also to break barriers in how we see other people. In verses 3 to 7, we saw that the prophet speaks about two types of people, which are the foreigners and the eunuchs. But also, the prophet speaks about the temple. The temple, at least in the context that we're speaking about in Isaiah, represents the access to the Lord. As they say in the seminary, especially when you're learning this, Yahweh, like my professor likes to say. This verse not only promises the access to the temple, but also promises an access to Yahweh wherever he is. The temple of Jerusalem will not always be standing. If you look at into context, the Israelites have lost their temple. These folks are just getting out of exile and they're moving back and they have no temple. But what the Word of God says, that no matter if there is a temple or not, the love of Yahweh is always forever and make sure that everyone has access through all generations. The Lord opens the doors to groups that are considered unclean within the priestly circle of Israel. In his verses, when we read on, Lord says, I will accompany the foreigners or the eunuchs or whoever, where they can make their offerings and burn sacrifices. Yahweh admits these strangers in the patio or the area of the court of the priests because they are welcome to make their sacrifices. The only thing that the Lord asks of these two groups is to follow, to serve, to worship, to love the Lord, and keep his covenant. That's it. That's all the Lord asks of them. And I also wanted to say, especially, we didn't read verse 8, but I also want to actually recite this verse where it says, the sovereign Lord declares, he who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will still gather still others to them besides those are already gathered. Brothers and sisters, sometimes what society considers rejects as the eunuchs and those who are foreigners or not Jewish, in this case the Gentiles, God embraces them and welcomes them, as is said already in verse 8. So faith is in the call of God. Not only challenges us to rethink differently the way we think of how to follow God. Following God is a challenge, and God definitely likes to push our buttons, not just faith-wise, but also the way that we see other people that may not, perhaps don't think like us or they don't look like us. I started with speaking a little bit about my father and how his example has been definitely a big influence on my life, especially how we treat others who are very differently than us. As you already know, through the sermons, through the psalm, through the testimonies of other people, we always ask prayer about Nicaragua, especially since our country is going through a terrible, obviously, political and ugly unrest, and unfortunately that has cost not only deaths, but also separation of families, especially in how we see one another. I remember one of the things in my family when this whole unrest happened. There were a lot of families that did not want to see eye to eye to each other because they thought very differently. There was one particular family that felt very isolated because they obviously had a different political view. My family does also have a political view, but I remember quite well, it was actually a Sunday afternoon, actually after church, about 2 or 3 o'clock. And all of a sudden, this family just showed up. And my father said, you know, you're welcome to come into our house. You're welcome to have a dessert and some coffee. And as you know, even in the Jewish tradition, welcoming somebody into your house and eat with them is a sign of real deep relationship with people. Even though the family and my family and myself, we do not and probably will not be see eye to each other, but in that case, we practice what God says, to look beyond what we do at our church, to go act our faith, to treat others who may not think differently or look differently than us, and welcome them in our table. May the Lord's word be a blessing to everybody. Amen. In your bulletins, if you see, printed out, we have what we call the Lord's Creed, or El Credo Hispano. I wish we could have said this in Spanish too, but we have it in English. And in my background as a Baptist, obviously we do not do creeds. That's mostly the Catholic Church. But as I've learned, especially as I've been through seminaries, Presbyterians are very creedal people. Or those who grew up being Methodists or Episcopalians or Lutherans, we definitely do creeds. But I always like to look at creeds as a way of a signature of how we are as Christians and what is our essence. And I felt that the creed, this specific creed speaks about and resonates with the verse 7 that this is the house for all nations. As Juan was saying about, there is no Babel Tower. We are here. We are a table right in front of us. As we see, we have brothers and sisters from other countries who are here worshiping the same God as this the Lord Jesus Christ. So we invite everybody, if you would like or if you're able, to please stand up. We would like to recite the Lord's Creed, the El Credo Hispano, the Hispanic Creed. We're going to start all together, and I'll begin. Repeat. We believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, creator of all peoples and all cultures, creator of all tongues and races. We believe in Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. God made flesh in a person for all humanity. God made flesh in an age for all ages. God made flesh in one culture for all cultures. God made flesh in love and grace for all creation. We believe in the Holy Spirit, through whom God incarnates in Jesus Christ, makes his presence known in our peoples and our cultures, through whom God, creator of all that exists. Give us power to become new creatures, whose infinite gifts make us one people, the body of Christ. We believe in the church, universal because it is a sign of God's reign, whose faithfulness is shown in its many hues. Where all the colors paint in single landscape, where all tongues sing the same praise. We believe in the reign of God, the day of the great fiesta, when all the colors of creation will form a harmonious rainbow, when all peoples will join in joyful banquet, when all tongues of the universe will sing the same song. And because we believe, we commit ourselves to believe for those who do not believe, to love for those who do not love, to dream for those who do not dream, until the day when hope becomes reality. Amen. As we say in our church, and the people of God, y el pueblo de Dios dice, amen. For this